And this morning, I've got the immense privilege to start off what is sure to be a great few months in the life of our church as we look at a series that is entitled Free. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 2. We're going to be taking verses from the book of Colossians for the next 2.5 months, and we're going to be looking at this book, and we're going to be taking themes, okay, that kind of come out of the book of Colossians. So, homework, okay? School is back on now, and it's going to be week 2, so they'll get homework this week. Week 1, if you guys already got homework, I apologize, my kids didn't. So, week 2, it all kicks in. And so, homework for the next 2.5 months, why not make it a priority every single week to read through the book of Colossians? It's 4 chapters. Okay? It's not a lot. But every week, let's immerse ourselves in what this book is talking about. And this morning, I want to read to you from chapter 2, verses 9 to 19. And I'm actually going to read from the Passion. I love the way that it puts some of this. And so you might not want to find it and try and follow it because it'll be totally different. Okay, but it says this. In fact, we're going to start at verse 8. It says, beware. Everyone say beware.
Beware.
Come on, we're going to wake up this morning. That no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom when they're filled with endless arguments of human logic. For they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of this world system and not the anointed truths of the Anointed One. For he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form. This is talking about Jesus. And our own completeness is found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom, authority in the universe. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct. And it wasn't because of something good that we have done, but because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. For we've been buried with him, immersed into his death. Our baptism into death also means that we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power. The power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state while we were held in sin's grasp. But now, are we ready for this? We've been resurrected out of the realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all of our sins. Anyone happy about that?
Yes.
Okay, few of you. All right, and though the divine authority of his cross, and through the divine authority of his cross, he cancelled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul, and our shameful failure to keep his laws. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. Since you have been set free, why would you allow anyone to judge you because of what you eat or drink, or insist that you keep feasts, observe new moon celebrations, or the Sabbath? All of these were but a prophetic shadow and the evidence of what would be fulfilled, for the body is now Christ. Don't let anyone disqualify you from your prize. Don't let their pretended sincerity fool you as they deliberately lead you into their initiation of angel worship. For they take pleasure in pretending to be experts of something they know nothing about. Their reasoning is meaningless and comes from their own opinions. They refuse to take hold of the true source and honor him as the head. I love this bit of the Bible. I've been in Colossians for the last couple of weeks and I am loving it. Because it talks throughout the whole book about your freedom and my freedom. And this morning, I want to say to you that we are free to live as Christ intended us to live. Who believes that?
Yeah.
I love that verse 16 that says, you know, if Jesus did all this to set us free, why would we allow anyone to take that freedom away from us. And this next 2.5 months, we're going to be looking at different things that we can live free from because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's not because of anything we do. It's because of what he did. That is the only reason that we can live free. And so we're going to be taking a look at this whole thing of living as free people because of the cross. I hope you get excited about this. Get reading the book of Colossians, because it is one of the most incredible letters that is written in the New Testament, I think. All of them are incredible, but this one, I've just got my teeth into it over the last few weeks, just getting excited about what God is saying through it. Freedom means this. It refers to an absence of undue restrictions and an opportunity to exercise one's rights and powers. Freedom emphasizes the opportunity given for the exercise of one's rights, powers, desires, not only a lack of restrictions, but also the ability to stand alone, unsustained by anyone else. This morning, I want to say, actually, us as Christians, when we live free, we should stand out from those around us. We don't stand alone without anyone else, but we stand out with the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so we're going to look at what it means to live free. And this morning, we're going to look at the fact that we need to be free to be ourselves. We need to be free to be who we are. We don't want to be a clone of the person sat next to us. Some of you may say amen to that. You know, we don't want to be a clone of someone else that we know. Actually, God has called us to be uniquely who he has created us to be. Yet we spend all of our time trying to fit in with everybody else. This morning, I want to say, actually, we need to be set free today to be who we are. Jesus called us out of slavery and out of a life controlled by sin to a life free in him. To a life free to be who he has created us to be. Because who God created me to be is very different than who he created Paul to be. Okay? We're both unique in Christ. But if I spent all of my time trying to be like Paul, I wouldn't be living free. I would be living trying to be what other people think I should be. You know, we have different, for example, we have different worship leaders in our church, and we all lead worship very differently. We don't all try and be one another, okay? Actually, what we bring is a different flavor every single week to the life of our church. And there will be people that will be like, yes, Paul is leading today, okay? And it's like, okay, I can totally get on board with how he leads. And then, you know, maybe when I lead, it'll be, oh, it's Joe today. And there'll be some of you that are going, yes, Joe's leading today. No amen there, okay? But we're all different, and we all respond to different things, and we all react to different things. And God's called us to be unique, and your unique is what the people around you are going to need, because God places us in places where the people around us need us to be ourselves and need us to be who he has created us to be. Why, if Jesus has set us free, would we allow other things to come in and control who we're going to be and where we're going to go? This morning, we're looking at being free to be ourselves. I read this week. It says, I am in competition with no one. I run my own race. I have no desire to play the game of being better than anyone in any way, shape, or form. I just aim to improve to be better than I was before. I love that. I'm going to read it again. Okay. It says this, I am in competition. In fact, we're all going to repeat it. Okay. Yeah. All right, I'm going to read a bit, you repeat a bit, okay? And then if you're writing it, you might be able to get it as well. It says this, I am in competition with no one.
I am in competition with no one.
I run my own race.
I run my own
race. I have no desire to play the game.
I have no desire to play the game.
Of being better than anyone.
Being better than anyone.
In any way.
In any way.
Shape. Or form.
Or form.
I just aim to improve. To be better than I was before. This morning we're free to be who God has created us to be. And who you are is going to be different to who the person sat next to you is. You know, I remember the days where every worship leader wore a suit. This was the girls. A suit with a really long jacket. Okay, that came down to our knees. And we basically did that because there's, you know, just a small-time worship leader called Darlene Check. Okay, who wore that? And I remember trying to fit in. I remember trying to lead worship like that. And it just didn't fit me. It just didn't work. And until I broke free from that and became who I was meant to be, I struggled with what I was doing. And this morning, I want to say to you, maybe for some of us, the reason that we are struggling with what we're doing is because we're trying to do it like someone else rather than trying to be ourselves in doing it. Because if God has given you something to do, he has given you the uniqueness and the character to do it with. And so this morning, I want to say to you, actually, with what you're doing, whether it is, you know, everything we do is for God, but whether it's in a ministry area, whether it's in your work, whether it is in your home life or whatever it is, be who God has made you to be. Because those people around you need you to be that person. I can remember when I was probably the age of some of you guys sat over here. Okay, my idea of freedom was the moment I didn't live at home. That was my idea of freedom. Okay, if you've got parents in, they're all looking at the ground now. Okay, but my idea of freedom was I'm going to be free. I can do what I want. I can come in when I want. I can eat what I want. If I want a pot noodle every single mealtime, I can have that pot noodle. And there is no mum telling me that I need vegetables, okay, and I need all of that kind of stuff. Freedom to me at one point in my life was the moment that I left home. I did it kind of wrong because I left home and went to Bible college where you just had to eat what was put in front of you or starve, basically. It was like being at home, okay? But I kind of thought there is going to become a freedom in my life when I get out from home. And then it was, there's going to be a freedom in my life when I get out from Bible college. And there was. Okay, and there's going to be a freedom in my life when I get my own house. And do you know what? In some senses there were, but all I ended up living with was a different set of responsibility. Yeah. Because it doesn't matter where we go in life, we're always going to have responsibility. And some of us like that, and some of us hate it, and some of us fight against it. But in the whole thing of being free to be us, freedom doesn't mean there are no restraints. Freedom doesn't mean that I can just do what I want when I want. Actually, when you truly live free, you live under the boundary and the things that God has set before you. I'm not free to do what I want. Well, in one way I am, but I choose not to be. My freedom, I have chosen that I'm going to live for God and live with what he has given me to do and not do anything else. And this morning, I want to just really bring that inspiration and challenge to us that actually all of us have the chance from today forward to begin to live free. But all of us know that in our lives, there's enemies of that freedom. There are enemies that come into our life that try and stop us from living how God wants us to live. One of those enemies is the enemy of legalism, especially within the church. You see, the book of Colossians was written to a church in a place called Colossae, okay? And what had happened was there was a group of people called the Essenes, okay, who had come into the church. They were a Jewish sect. And they'd come into the church and they were beginning to tell everyone what they should and shouldn't do. But it wasn't based on grace. It wasn't based on the fact that Jesus had died and rose again for our freedom. It was based on law. And it wasn't even based purely on the law that God had given. It was based on laws that they were beginning to create. And so this group were in the church and were around the church. And so Paul is trying to say, actually, don't let what they are thinking begin to take you into captivity again, because I've set you free. And so one of the things that this group thought was, the term Essenes, okay, it means the purest. And so they didn't want to do anything that would detract from their holiness or from their purity. And so one of the things that happened was they didn't eat any food that was good. It wasn't that they just didn't eat one type of food. They wouldn't eat anything that was good. And so they would find the stalest bread, and they would find, you know, the food that had the least flavor in it, and they would eat that. In fact, they went a little bit further than that, and they said you can only eat in the evening because you shouldn't eat food at any other time in the day. Okay, you can only eat in the evening. And they began to impose these laws on the church. And they began to let them kind of see a kind of false form of godliness. Okay, God is saying this when God actually wasn't saying that. And the church were kind of, some of the church were getting in with that and were becoming trapped in legalism and in things that they should never be trapped in. Was it stuff that was majorly harmful? No. They were just saying this is God's law when it wasn't, and judging people because of things like what they eat, what they drink. They would only drink water. They wouldn't have drunk juice or anything else. They drunk water and that was it. And what they were saying is that this is God's law over your life and you need to do the same as us if you want to be as pure and as holy as we are. And like I was reading up about this thinking, you know, if someone came in to Generations Church with that, I don't really think we'd fall for it, okay? Because I've eaten with most of you. Okay, and we only eat the good stuff, all right? and you know, but there are things that creep into church today and things that have crept in my lifetime in church, okay, that people make into God's law that was never God's law. Things like how we dress for church. I was brought up in the era where you had your Sunday best, okay? I was brought up in the era where if you were a girl, you had to wear a skirt. There are the photos to prove I was brought up in that era. I can remember at about 17 years old being allowed to decide what I wanted to wear for church. And I went to church for the first time in jeans. And I stood there and I felt guilty as anything because I was wearing a pair of jeans. And in some churches, if I rocked up like this to preach or whatever, they wouldn't let me on the platform. And we bring in things that are not from God, say they're from God. There needs to be decency. The Bible does say that. That when we dress in a decent way. We don't dress provocatively, but we dress in a decent way. But nowhere does it say that because I'm a girl, I have to wear a skirt to go to church. We bring in these things. You know, a lot of people kind of talk about drinking. It's another big thing in the church. And the Bible does not say, do not drink. I've studied it. I've looked for it. I personally don't drink. But the Bible doesn't say, don't drink. The Bible says, don't get drunk. That's what it says. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So the Bible, we all of a sudden make up laws and rules that actually the Bible doesn't support. Yet we give it this form of holiness and godliness. And you know, personally, I don't drink. Whereas Math will have a drink. So if we have people to our house, I'm not going to say that there can't be a bottle of wine on the table. Or if it's, you know, Math's friends coming over, that there's no cider allowed. Okay? Because that's what they enjoy. Yet the church, as a church, we make up rules for things all the time that actually are not supported by Scripture. There is a boundary on that. It says don't get drunk. That's the boundary. And if I was in a youth setting, I'd have something to say about that, okay? And I'd say to them, so how do you know how much alcohol is too much for you? And they always fall into the thing of saying, because you get drunk. There we go. So let's be careful, but let's not make up a rule and a law that's not supported by Scripture. And so Paul writes this letter to the church in Colossae saying, actually, don't let these people who look to have this form of godliness trick you into becoming enslaved by a law that I never even set in the first place. And church, we've got to, if we're ever going to be free to be who we are, we've got to be free, okay, to live in the freedom that God has given us and not try and come under the law that other people have set, because legalism is not good. I personally, when I became a Christian, the major thing to change in my life, I was only 12 years old, but the major thing to change in my life was my language. It changed overnight. It was one of those God moments where God almost, I could not swear. I just could not do it. And so for me now, in the things that I watch and stuff like that, Matthew and I begin to watch a movie, and if in the first 5 minutes it's just a string of swearing, we turn it off. He could watch it and not be affected. It would really affect me. Because sometimes what God has saved you out of, he doesn't want you going back into. And so this morning, let's not be bound up by legalism. Let's not be bound up by people who bring intimidation. Verse 8 in Colossians 2 says this: beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness. It's not leading you away from Christ. That's not what Paul said. He said, don't let them lead you away from his fullness, from the fullness of Christ in you to be free to be who he has called you to be and created you to be. There is a fullness in our life that only comes from him. Let's not let anyone come and intimidate us not to live in that fullness. I don't think you can go over the top with your faith. I don't think you can go over the top with your Christianity, because there's a fullness in God that when you have it, you've just got to share it. That when you have it, you've just got to let other people know about it. Intimidation stands against our freedom. It stands against everything that God has won for us. The lies of the enemy, we looked at that the other week, is an enemy of our freedom. Lies will never bring you freedom. You need to know when you're being lied to by the enemy. So when you've got those voices in your head that's telling you something that is not supported by this, you need to know that, so that we don't lose the fullness in Christ that Jesus Christ died for us to have, because there's a lie from the enemy that is going around our head. And I know that's easier said than done. But this morning, I want to just really inspire us and challenge us not to live under the lies of the enemy. This is not what was bought for us at the cross. The Bible says this, that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There will be a freedom when you know the truth. And he's talking about there, you knowing Jesus. Okay, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And when that verse is talking about us knowing him, but there's also about a thing about knowing the truth in him that will then help us to live free. When you know the truth over your situation, when you know the truth over your life, that truth will cause you to live in freedom. So I want to bring us three things this morning about living free to be who we are. I've lost my place again. If we're going to be free to be who we are, who God has created us to be, there are a few things that we need to know. Are you ready for these?
Yeah.
Okay, number one, the real you is who you are in Christ. The real you is who you are in Christ. It's not who you are in the natural. It's not what your past tells you you are. It's not what other people have told you you are. The real you is who you are in Christ. When you live in the fullness that he has given you. When we come to Christ, our old sinful nature is not eradicated from us, because we can still sin. However, its power is broken as we yield to Christ and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So our sinful life, we can walk free from it. We can walk away from it. It's never eradicated. God doesn't go, that's it. The sinful nature doesn't exist in your life anymore, because we're human and we do things wrong. But its power over us and the consequences that it once held over our lives are gone. Says this in verse 14 of Colossians 2. And through the divine authority of his cross, he cancelled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood over us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul, and our shameful failure to keep his laws. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything that we have done has gone. Do you believe that? Everything that we have done, everything that we've done wrong is gone. But there's still that battle in our life between our new nature, which is in Christ, and our old nature, which is not. And sometimes the old nature wins, and we've got to come back to the cross and believe that God is going to deal with it. But I want to tell you that your true self, your real self, is who you are this morning in Christ. Our freedom is not just having the consequences of our sin removed from us and a place in heaven. Our freedom is when we begin to live in who God is and in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we find our completeness in so many different places. We find our completeness in our relationships. We find our completeness in our career. We find our completeness in our family, in our ministry, in our finance, in how we look. There are so many different places today where we find our completeness. I was talking to someone the other day, just popped in the office, and they just recently retired. And I said, oh, how's it going? And they said, well, it doesn't feel real yet, you know, because it's who I am. I've come out of the thing that makes me who I am, and I wanted to scream at them, no. Actually, your fullness, that they're not following God at the moment, but your fullness is in God. It's not in what you once did. It's not in the career that you had. Your fullness is in Christ. And this morning, whatever it is you are chasing after to find fulfillment and to find wholeness and to find completeness, you will find it nowhere other than in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Other than in the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you. In themselves, these things are not wrong. They only become dangerous when we use them to find our wholeness. Verse 10 of Colossians 2, I love this verse, says this, our own completeness is found in him. My completeness this morning is only found in one place. It's when I come to the foot of the cross, when I come into the presence of God, and I begin to talk with him. I allow him to work on me. I allow the Holy Spirit to do something in me. My completeness and my fullness is found in him. It's found in my relationship with Jesus. The other things may help me enjoy life, but my wholeness and my completeness is found in him. If you're at the beginning of your life, let me tell you, your wholeness and completeness will be found nowhere else. It really won't. Talk to some of us oldies. We've been there, we've tried it, and we've realized it doesn't work. And I'm not of the opinion that sometimes you've got to find out for yourself. I would rather tell you, let you know, so you don't go try find out for yourself and come to harm. Our completeness, our wholeness, is only found in one place, and that is in Jesus Christ. Yeah. When we look at it for it somewhere else, something will go wrong in our life. And eventually we'll come back to that point of being Jesus. It's all in you. It's all found in you. It's all about you. And so the first thing I want to say to us this morning about having our fullness in him is that we are only truly free when we're who he created us to be. Second thing, when we find freedom and completeness in Christ, we realize that we don't have to dance to anyone else's tune. Usually in every season of my life, I have a tune that goes on with it. I don't know if anyone else is like this. Okay, maybe it's just me, and I'm a bit weird. Okay, but I normally have a soundtrack to my life. So I can look back, and if I put certain CDs on, it instantly takes me back to a certain point in my life. Okay, I went to Eden Hall not long ago for someone's 40th birthday. And on the way back, there was 80s music going all the way back. It was Joe Parkinson's choice, okay? Not she had hold of the iPod, everybody. So obviously, you know, I was just like, this is terrible, okay? It was my iPod, but we were driving back, and there's 80, and like, we're singing, and it's absolutely fab, and it's like, you know, road trip and all that kind of stuff, and it takes me back. If certain songs come on from those things, it'll take me back to a certain point in my life. I've got a favorite CD by a not very well-known band called Bon Jovi, and there's a CD called Lost Highway, and I love this CD. And every time I put it on, I instantly go back to some of my road trips to Leeds and back when I was going to hospital. So I get in the car at 5:30 in the morning. I needed waking up because I was about to drive to Leeds. Okay, I didn't want slow worship music on at that point. Okay, so I would stick on this CD. And so we were listening to it yesterday. It instantly takes me back. I can remember what the weather was like at certain journeys over there and certain journeys back. I normally have a soundtrack to every season of my life. But I want to say to us, if the soundtrack that is playing over our lives is set by someone else or a set of circumstances, we will never know what it is to live free. We need to allow God to set the playlist over our life. We need to allow God to set the soundtrack and the playlist to our lives. What plays over in my spirit and my head will spiritually give me a soundtrack to my day, my week, and my season. What is it today? Let's not think about last week or last month. What is it today that is playing over in your spirit? Is it the soundtrack of worry? Is it the soundtrack of fear? Is it the soundtrack of I'm not good enough? Is it the soundtrack of, God, if this happens, I don't know how I'm going to make it through? Is it the soundtrack of the joy of the Lord is my strength? Is it the soundtrack of greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world? What is the soundtrack today of your day? Because whatever the soundtrack to your day or your season is, it will set you up for that day or that season. Whatever you allow to play over your life is what will come out of you. Have you ever had a long journey where someone else's playlist is playing in the car who does not have the same taste in music as you do? Anyone else been there? Okay. I had many a journey with country and Western music. Now, you may love it. I personally don't. But my dad, bless him, you know, Johnny Mathis, all our youth are going, huh? Okay. And, you know, people like that. And my mum had this favorite. He was called Big John Hall. And those would be the playlists that would play in our car in the tape machine. Okay. On every single journey. On every single journey, it would be those kind of things. And there's nothing worse than going on a long journey with someone else's playlist that you cannot cope with. Do you know what? But most of us live our lives with someone else's playlist going over it. Someone else who tells us this is how life's going to be for you. Someone else who tells us that this is the way you've always been, so nothing is ever going to change. What playlist is going over your world right now? Because you will never be free to be who you are while you allow someone else to dictate what you're going to do and how you're going to feel. Whether that is someone or whether that is something, we need to learn to live free from those. When you begin to say things like, that's just who I am, you begin to live out of the freedom of God. Maybe you are someone who has to deal more than most with worry. But the moment you say, I'm just a worrier, that's who I am, it'll never change. Guess what? It'll never change. The moment we begin to say, actually, God, worry is not part of the playlist you want over my mind and over my spirit. Worry is not the thing that you want me to be dealing in. All of a sudden, God's going to begin to change that in us. And so this morning, you know, let's think about the soundtrack of our life right now. Let's think about the soundtrack that is playing over our life, over our decision making, over our future, over our present. The soundtrack that is playing will have a determining factor on what you do and where you go and how free you live. And then the last thing this morning that I want to say to us about living free to be who we are is that we need to allow God to set the parameters for our life. Where is it God says you can go in life? How far is it God says you can go? The moment that the parameters of our life is set by anyone or anything else, we begin to live smaller than what we're meant to. We begin to live in a way that is not freedom. It is constrained by circumstance and people. Now, I believe, I am a big believer in having people speak into our life. Huge believer in that. So I'm not saying ignore everybody. But what I am saying, be very careful that no one else sets the parameters for your life, for where you can go, what you can do, and how much you can achieve. Let God do that. Because God's parameters are amazing. And he sees things in you that you don't see. And that the person next to you don't see. And that the person who lives in your house doesn't see. That the person who's in the office next to you doesn't see. God sees things in us that if we would just be free to be ourselves, he could bring out of us. And the boundary lines of our life would be a lot wider than what they are right now. Allow God to set the parameters over your life. Psalm 16, verse 16 says this, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. We live within the boundary lines God sets out. You know, when we're in school, teachers can set if they're not careful the boundary lines of our future. If I'd have listened to my teachers, some of them were great and gave me a very wide scope to go and do whatever I wanted. But if I'd have listened to some of my teachers, I would have gone at 16 and got a job in a factory because that's what they told me I could do. But the boundary lines for my life are not set by that. The boundary lines for my life is set by a God who sees something in me that they never saw, who sees something in me that they never perceived. And I said to God, God, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And he very clearly told me at 14, this is what you're going to do. So actually, I chose who I was going to listen to, and I ignored those people who said, you need to go and get a job in the factory up the road, and that's all you're ever going to be good for. Because the boundary lines for me are set in pleasant places. I didn't want to work there. I didn't want to do that. I would do it to earn money, to go and do what God has called me to do, but that's about it. This morning, who's setting the boundary lines over your life? If you're going to be free to be who you are, your completeness is found in God. Don't allow other people to set small boundary lines over your life. Allow God to allow you to see the big expanse of what he can do in and through you. As I said at the beginning, freedom doesn't mean that I can do whatever I want. Freedom means I allow God to work in me and through me and set the lines for my life. I have so much freedom when I come and submit to God. I live free when I submit to his will over my life. It's a joy. What is it we sing? It will be my joy to say, your will, your way. It's a joy this morning to allow my life to be set within his parameters and his boundary lines. And so this morning, I want to tell you, I want to give you permission to be free to be you. Don't try and be anyone else, because we've got that other person on the planet already, and we don't need another one of them. Be free to be you. Whatever that is, however that looks, be free to be who you are this morning. Your completeness and your wholeness is found in Christ. It's not found in anything else. This morning, let's be a church who doesn't bring a judgment on people and a legalism on people that is not found in the Bible. Yes, we preach the truth, and I believe in that. But I'm not going to preach things that are going to bind us up into a legalism that doesn't allow us to be free in God. Let's be a church that allow people the joy to find freedom in who they are.